Welcome back to The Laws of Life. This is session 21, I think. We're dealing tonight with the law of polarity. In 2 weeks, this is part of a sequence. In 2 weeks, we will deal with the law of sex. That should get them all out. And then 2 weeks after that, the law of creation, which all of this seems like a natural progression to me. But what do I know? So anyway, the question is, what is the divine law of polarity and how can aspirants best harness it? I've shuffled the cards and laid them out in the resulting spread. Is the starting point is the Nine of Pentacles upside down. The counterpoint is the Eight of Cups right side up. The creative challenge, as already acknowledged, is the Six of Rods right side up. The purpose is the Devil right side up. Number 15 in the Major Arcana, a six. So there's two sixes in a row, the Six of Rods, and then the Six of the Major Arcana, the Devil. Number 15. The endowment is the Emperor, number 4 in the Major Arcana. The destiny is the Five of Swords. Both of those are upright. The Five of Swords, of course, is a 5. And then the Pillar of Revelation, we have the real question is the Two of Pentacles upside down. The Unseen Forces, the King of Cups, right side up. The spiritual ideal is death, right side up, number 13 in the Major Arcana, or a 4 to go with the Emperor. And I'm also informed by Rose that death appeared in the last reading we did on the Law of Destiny. It was what? The endowment? It was the endowment there. Here's the spiritual ideal. Death is a busy card. And our culmination is the Ten of Swords upside down, which is a good place to end because it's the culmination. Huh. All right. Let us end review. We have 7 upright cards, 3 reverse cards. We have 3 majors, the Emperor, the Devil, and Death. We have 2 swords, 1 rod, 2 cups, and 2 pentacles. And a good place to start, I think, is not at the starting point. We'll get there very soon. But at the real question, which is the starting point for the Pillar of Revelation. The card in the position of the real question is the Two of Pentacles. And there you have your polarity, your pairs of opposites. Your yin and your yang, if you wish. The inner and the outer. The ocean of life and the individual. And the universal and the specific. The pair of opposites, the polarity, and from time to time, as we go through evolution, the real drama of this is governed by the law of polarity. We become focused in our in a positive expression or in a negative expression, and growth occurs as we take the negative expression into a positive expression, and then reverse that and become dominant. It's just like the image of the Six of Rods, where she has tamed the wild horse of the emotions. She has tamed the emotions through restraint, and which tames the wildness. And so the polarity of life is often embodied in paradox, such as that we gain control by identifying, defining the opposite point of view of what we've established, find out what we're missing from wholeness. And so then we go to the starting point, which is the Nine of Pentacles, and the Nine of Pentacles is a, looks like a young woman with a pet, a peacock or some white bird here with elaborate tail feathers. And the white bird is cooing, almost kissing her, and the young woman represents the soul, and the bird of paradise or whatever it is represents the personality, the well-trained, refined, perfected personality. And so the law of polarity is that the soul must remain at this level, but as the the personality of the bird learns to respond perfectly to the soul and love it and accept its guidance and control and mastery, then growth occurs, and out of this combining of the polarity, the bird, which used to be negative or positive, and the soul negative, there's a reversal of polarity, and the soul becomes the positive influence on the receptive personality. Right there, you have a summation of the divine law of polarity, perfect starting point. The tree in the background, the vineyard in the background, indicates that this is a the outgrowth of this, the byproduct of this reversal of polarity is growth. And we are the vine. The Christ is the vine. We are the branches. And so this definitely pertains to the soul. And the human and the pet are the two poles that make up a complete whole. And you could probably make up some doggerel out of that. The poles that make up the whole, something like that. But I wouldn't dare do that. Our counterpoint is the Eight of Cups. And the Eight of Cups is a hunched over man wearing a cloak, presuming he's a man. He could be a woman. He's confronting the gap between the personality and the soul, and he wants to cross over. But he has all of these emotional possessions that he is dominated by and makes him positive against the soul on the other side that he doesn't know exists. Above the mean. And so we have to learn, master the lesson of, which is a paradox. We take what we learn with us by leaving it behind us. That would be the paradox. By learning to leave our accumulated wisdom and insight into life behind us and embrace a whole new reality, we allow the soul to step in and take control and authority for our life. We exchange our positive polarity for the negative receptive polarity of the peacock, of the perfect pet. And the personality, the struggle that typifies this reversal of polarity is what DK refers to as the dweller on the threshold. The personality becomes so strong and so intent and so confident and cocky that it ignores the rule and dominion of the soul. And so that polarity has to be reversed so that the confident personality becomes the agent of light being guided by the soul. And that is the drama of the divine law of polarity. And in a very real way, the law of polarity defines our sense of personality and what we need to give up or sacrifice in order to identify with the higher self. This is the mantra of Ray 4, for those of you who remember the rays and their mantras. The higher meets the lower and remains the higher. In other words, integration occurs, but the lower is absorbed in the higher. And the higher now is able to express itself through the lower, the personality being the lower, the soul being the higher. And this is a occult truism. The higher meets the lower and remains the higher, draws it up to it. And that's the work of polarity. As we focus our mind in any pursuit, the act of focusing and focusing on a lesson to be learned or information to be used makes us either positive or negative toward it. So the art of transcending as a spiritual aspirant, the art of harnessing this law of polarity for our benefit is to learn to sacrifice that which has proven useful in the past so that we can work at a higher perspective with the same skills, talents, habits, etc. This all comes to a head in the card of the creative opportunity, the creative challenge, the Six of Rods, where the woman here is now wearing a pink robe and riding triumphantly with the laurel wreath of achievement on the top of one of her poles, rods, I mean. And she has harnessed the wild horse of the emotions and has it under control. And so this is a card of ideal self-restraint. And this is the way the soul masters and changes the polarity of the personality. It learns to harness the wildness of the emotions and uses the mind, the focus of the mind, to achieve this isolated unity with its design. And so self-restraint is the greatest source of strength. I've mentioned this in earlier sessions here and in other classes, and I'm going to mention it again. This is a card of self-restraint, and it is through self-restraint that we learn the full scope of self-expression. Until we're able to choose not to do something, we can't choose wisely to do it. And that needs to be understood. Otherwise, we become the victim of the polar opposites, not the controller of it. And this, of course, is emphasized in the next card, the purpose. And we have the Devil card here. And, of course, the Devil has created a schism between the male and the female. Everything is inverted here. Everything is upside down. The star on its forehead is upside down. This is the second card here at the bottom of the spread with the moon in it. The Eight of Cups was occurring under the auspices of the moon. Here the moon is governing. So the moon represents form, specifically dead form, that which we need to be leaving behind us. And that will be echoed in the card of death when we get there. But again, this is polarity is our way of, we come down, we enter into form, the form becomes the positive pole to our consciousness, which becomes entrapped in it. And this, of course, happened millions, if not billions of years ago, and a long, long time ago in a far, far distant galaxy. Or in a galaxy far, far away, I guess is the phrase. So as we endure schisms and conflicts and splits, divisions in consciousness, we learn to define the shred of our self-determination, our will that can conquer this and reverse polarity, and then reunite the male and the female so that they become as one. Reunite the soul and the personality so that they act as one. That's the drama of polarity. And the lesser force always is the positive aggressive force until the greater force awakens and seizes control. And then there's a reversal. And the greater becomes the positive force and the lesser becomes the negative receptive force. And that's the result of self-restraint, the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's the ultimate choice. And symbolized by, of course, Nancy Reagan saying that the key to drugs is just say no. There's a tremendous power in that. It's so simple. So those are our first four cards. Any comments or questions before we move on?
I just read in Esoteric Astrology for Pisces, Carl. I think it's exactly this law.
Well, there would be a reason why this is, I'm doing this one in Pisces.
This week. I kind of thought that.
Good. Anybody else? Any questions so far? Well, let's go on then. The card of the endowment is the Emperor. The Emperor is the number four card in the major arcana. The Emperor is a fellow sitting on a Emperor's throne, which is logical. And he's wielding the Ankh of power. And he has a little miniature sun in his left hand, which balances out those moons. In fact, there are two suns in these cards, the other one being in death, and they balance out the two moons. So we're astrologically in balance. And the emperor represents your God's will. It is, we have the law of polarity because it's God's will that the way God will achieve his purpose of making form spiritual is by creating duality, and then we, the agents of divine will, learn to harness the opposite poles and reverse what is positive to become negative and what is negative to become positive. This is the clue given in the statement about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in the beginning, there was divine will represented by the emperor who seeks to nurture and create growth in form, and through that growth, transform it into receptive agencies for the divine will. And so there's a benevolent expression of will motivating all this. This has occurred in the past and set creation in motion. And again, the dynamic quality here is there are a lot of people who don't recognize the connection between earth and heaven, but they do so at their own ignorance and peril. This suggests that it is part of the divine plan. Polarity is not a mistake. It is a purposeful setup to enable consciousness to gain control of form. And that leads us into the card of destiny, where the agent of light is setting sword in the ground. There are two swords crossed in the foreground, and he has the other two swords over his left shoulder heading up toward heaven. They serve as the antennae. And so he is the paraclete. He is the agent of polarity. And, of course, we know from studying electricity that electricity is generated as we unite the positive and the negative poles. Anybody who's ever had a dead battery in their car knows that you have to run positive and negative cables to another battery to get a jump start. And if you cross them up, you'll blow everything up, including yourself. And you'll at least blow out the battery. And it's so we have to understand that it is energy that transforms form. And we have to draw that energy from the heavens. If we learn to master the law of polarity, we won't have any trouble generating energy on Earth because there is an unlimited resource of it, symbolized by the oil under the ground, which is the result of divine evolution and divine progress. But we can, once we learn the secret of harnessing polarity, we will be able to draw energy straight out of the etheric levels into the physical level and tap an unlimited resource of energy. We can do that in our personal growth by understanding that the essence of self-restraint, symbolized by the Six of Rods, is in fact our personal strength, and that strength lies in self-restraint. So as we render ourselves negative to the positive force of divine strength, we can tap an unlimited amount of psychological strength, the strength of consciousness, to confront the seeming divisions and conflicts of the physical form and the forms that we have to deal with. And that gives us control and mastery over the world of form. That may not be self-evident when I first say it, but if you ponder on that, it will become clearer and clearer how true that is. Anyway, the Five of Swords lays it all out for us. We are meant to harness this energy and bring heaven to earth to solve practical problems in our daily life, which takes us on then to the Pillar of Revelation. And normally I'd pause and ask you for comments, questions, but I'm on a roll here, so I'm going to keep on rolling. The Two of Pentacles has the inner and the outer poles. And so the question to ask, the real question is, how do I reverse my thinking? No matter what your problem is, you need to, in order to harness the polarity of the situation and put this law to work, you need to think to yourself, how do I reverse my opinion or my thoughts on this subject? When I first teach the basic course and introduce you to this concept, it's always in the question of, what am I missing that spirit has that I need? Well, sometimes that's not the question. The broader, more generic question is, how do I need to reverse my thinking? Where have I come chock-a-block against my own glamour, my own blind spot, my own cockiness, where I know for sure that I'm right? Anytime that you think, well, I'm right and they're wrong, you're probably not framing this correctly, and you need to ask yourself, how can I use the law of polarity to reverse my thinking on this subject? You go back to the Nine of Pentacles, and it's the personality and the soul together that define wholeness, not one or the other. Together they define wholeness. So unless you understand what the soul is trying to accomplish as well as what the personality wants to preserve, you won't understand it. Rose and I were talking this afternoon, and she quoted a proverb that is very important to her. Gratitude is the memory of the heart. And the idea here is that we can draw great strength as we recognize that our gratitude represents what we're grateful for, represents the accumulation of all the good and wonderful things that have happened to us in our life. And that gives us great strength and the ability to learn and grow and prosper. So gratitude is the memory of the heart, the accumulated wisdom of many lives experience that we now express as gratefulness for the help of divine life, the help of just our family, whatever it might be. The circumstances of life have made us, enabled us to triumph and rein in the wild energies of the emotions, the horse of the six of rods. So one of the things that we need to understand is there is such a thing as divine discontent. This is a phrase that Dr. Lykman suggested to me in response to my ATM this morning on Peace Be With You. Sometimes a little tiny a stirring of divine discontent, things could be better, is what alerts us to the fact that we need to reverse our polarity. We need to reverse what we know to be true. And that's the one of the great symbols of human life, or one of the great statements of human life. We learn a certain amount, and then we are sure we know what is true and right and proper for everybody. And we box ourselves into a trap, into a corner, and then we have to reverse our way out of it. And that's the reversal that comes as we identify with the soul or the impersonal ocean of life rather than the individual. I was preparing today for another one of our poetic performances, which we're going to conduct tomorrow night. It's on You Must Remember This. It's great poetry in English and American poets. And one of the I've lost my train of thought now. One of the poems that we'll be performing is John Keats' Bards of Passion and of Mirth, which I've quoted not too long ago in an Above the Mean, double lived in Regions New or something like that is the final double lived, talking about the soul of the poet and the personality of the poet. And he refers to Elysian lawns, and one of the things I talk about is Elysium. And for those of you who may not, you may remember Joan Grant's book, Return to Elysium. This was a Greek life in which she moved to Rome and became a seeress. But she had been educated by an atheist father, scientific father. And so Return to Elysium is, in Greek mythology, Elysium is the afterlife, what they call the underworld. And Elysium is just a section of the afterworld, right next to Oceanos, which is the ocean. And I realized right then and there as I was doing this research that that's the ocean of life. That's the ocean of life behind the girl with the pink hat, not to be confused with the girl with the pink robe, in the Two of Pentacles here, the girl with the pink hat. She is in Elysian fields right on the border of Oceanos, the ocean of life. And so our life is one in which we are poised between the individual and the oceanic, between our individual expression of life as an agent of light and our awareness of the ocean of life as in isolated unity. And when we're able to put the two together, we do achieve what the Hindus call isolated unity. So the real question is what do I need to reverse? How do I need to reverse my perspective on this aspect of life? So whatever you know for certain, you better start examining that and say, how do I need to reverse my polarity? Because that's where you have the greatest potential for gain and progress, if you can reverse your potential on what you know for certain based on your life here on Earth. Okay, so before I go any further on the pillar of revelation, I will pause now and take further comments or questions along the way here. Anybody?
Carl, just to say that this is such a gem of information and reminder of pausing and thinking beyond, you know, normally how I might approach a particular challenge.
Good. Good. Anybody else before we move in for the kill as we go up the pillar of revelation? Well, death is right there. That's and the ten of swords. The guy looks quite dead, as Londo would say, quite done. Okay, well, we to return then to our commentary. We're still in the pillar of revelation, which is bookended by the Two of Pentacles and the Ten of Swords, and the reversal of perspective that occurs here. So this whole pillar is about reversing perspective. And we have the unseen forces, the King of Cups. And this is one of those forces that is divine will imminent. The descending, the vortex is focused down into the heart area here, forming a V. You can see in the pattern just behind his shoulders here, and behind the cape, there's a jagged downward flow of energy from the divine to the individual here. And the King of Cups, being the emotions, he's the poster child for grab for all the gusto you can, which is a common human attitude that desperately needs reversal. We need to understand the only way to conquer and master grabability is by learning to relax our grasp. We can't grasp the nature of the soul until we have unclasped the cup that we are striving to hold on to and learn to give it and share it. And so this is a lesson in grasping. And but the hidden forces is this divine energy represented by the Emperor of the Will that gives us the authority to, you know, every human being already has the authority to let go of that which they're holding on to. let go of whatever they're clinging to, grasping for, or seek to achieve. And in learning to say, in learning to just say no and release that intense grasp, the divine energy flows through us and brings us the authority to act on behalf of the soul. So that's part of the reversal here. Then we go to the spiritual ideal, and the spiritual ideal is death. And this is just another one of those large issues. We incarnate through forms in order to redeem life on earth, but the form itself is governed by the cycle of death, life and death. And human beings have the audacity to assume that when they're in the physical form, they're alive, and death is the end of their life. And some people believe that that's all there is. We'll be performing a poem by the Irish Nobel laureate Seamus Heaney tomorrow, called about a dog who is sent forth to discover the meaning of life after death. And it's kind of a commentary on atheism. But in any event, I follow that up with the great poem by another Irish poet, Oliver Goldsmith. It was the dog that died. And so humanity is tormented, racked by fear of death and dying, and that just throws us into, we cling to life, thinking that we cling to form, thinking that that's life. But life is really the ability to be aware and to be. And so as we learn to take control of the form and just say no, we are actually exercising more life than the person that fears death. And so a symbol for the need to reverse our polarity is death itself. We need to see that death is life and life is death. That from the point of view of people who have died, those bards of passion and of birth, the great limitation of life is being born in a physical body, and the liberation from prison is what human boners call death or dying. And in that realization, we reverse the polarity and understand that it's the soul that's alive and always has been and always will be. It's the personality that is cyclic and is very much like a bicycle or a motorcycle. We have a series, you know, very few people ride the same bicycle at the age of 5 and at the age of 15 and the age of 25 if they still ride a bicycle. They go through successive ones, and we go through successive personalities that better fit our cycling needs. So we reverse our polarity so that we understand that death is just a hiccup for the form. It's a liberation from entrapment, and it brings liberation and freedom, the true freedom of spirit. And yet human beings, the classic example of how human beings torment themselves is by clinging to ideas that death ends all life, which is absurd. It's just, it demonstrates a complete lack of understanding of life. So the spiritual ideal is that through self-control, through self-restraint, through the correct use of polarity, we recognize where we've been trapped in negative poles, and we just say no and liberate ourselves from it. We end that tyranny of form, and we step out of the limitations, out of the morass, onto dry ground, and we plant the sword that we have in the Five of Swords, so that we always know who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. This then brings us to the culmination of the Pillar of Revelation and the reading itself. We have the Ten of Swords. This is the prototypical card of reversal. The aspirant is the fellow laying head down on the parched desert soil, his arm bloodied with conflict. You can see the chevrons on his armband there representing conflict. But then, and there are these 10 swords stuck in him like a pincushion. This is a card I often identify with because to some degree I am something of a psychic pincushion. All kinds of negativity seek me out and try to stick me in the back. Stabbed in the back once again. And that's not a statement of self-pity, although it sounds like it is actually a statement of some insight. I've learned to just say no to this backstabbing. But in any event, upon a closer look, utilizing the insights we've gained from this reading, upon a closer look, as you've heard me say before, at least the 7 swords that are in above the belt line all penetrate major chakras. And so this is really a illustration, a personification of divine energy coming from heaven to earth and animating the otherwise tabalard form and giving it direction and meaning and motivation and the capacity to do acts of genius and acts of heroism and acts of compassion. We'll leave the 3 swords stuck below the belt for another day. That's what motivates Dr. Crement to write his books on assholism. But in any event, the 10 of swords represents the ultimate reversal. When you can see the pinpricks of life, the things that really stick you in the gut as opening the doorway, opening up to new capacities to use energy, divine energy, and bring it down into the desert of the planet Earth, then you've reversed your polarity and you become actively negative or receptive to the positive pole of the soul. And again, this is the theme that runs throughout this whole reading here. We are dealing with life as energy, not as form. We are here to transform form and enliven it with energy. But I mentioned the analogy of electricity and the fact that the 5 of swords allows us to reach up and tap unlimited energy from the life of spirit. Well, we are so designed to facilitate this because even the unenlightened, uneducated human being has those chakras ready to be penetrated by the swords of spirit. But they can only be activated by spirit itself, not by form. The lower chakras can be activated by form, the sacral and the solar plexus. But the higher chakras can only be activated by spirit. And so we need to discover what it means to transfer the ineffable, subtle energy of the soul into our daily self-expression here in form. And that's a reversal of polarity. Okay, I'm going to stop here and entertain comments and questions. And whatever insights you might have. This is, of course, the integration of spirit and form, the integration of the yin and the yang to make a single unit, to make a single unity. And this is very basic to human life. Comments and questions? Nobody? Now you've been passive and receptive this whole session. Now it's your turn to reverse polarity and become aggressive and active and ask me questions or draw conclusions from what I've said.
So when you're saying a major question for us to ask, whenever we think we know something for certain based on our life on Earth,
right?
That's a clue that that's where we could really make some headway. We could really make some gain.
It's absolutely.
How can we reverse our polarity in that? With that knowledge base or whatever it is that we claim we know for certain.
Right. Exactly.
Carl, going back to, you know, reading from esoteric astrology, it was interesting to review again the three crosses and, you know, the mutable cross is so focused on just the experience of the form and learning and that personality expanding. And then the fixed cross focused again on ourself, but in a new way, you know, beginning to understand who we are, and the cardinal cross where, you know, we are part of the group, the whole, and we
right.
integrate.
Right. And that's part of our design is to discover those larger contexts. That's what we have down here, the Two of Pentacles, the ocean behind her. She is the individual fronting the ocean of life. And learning to draw from the ocean of life what she needs in order for her to sustain her daily self-expression in physical life. And in doing that, she's transforming, the personality is transforming the quality of life in her domain and larger in mass consciousness. The ocean is not mass consciousness itself, it's the divine life, what we call the ocean of life, excuse me. But the field in which we operate is always our own domain, the domain of the individual. Other comments or questions? Rose.
Well, learning to become positive to mass consciousness seems really, really important. And I mean, I think over the years with all of your classes, I've realized how important that is.
Well, absolutely. And the key to becoming positive toward mass consciousness is the Six of Rods, to stop being emotionally reactive to the fears, the angst, the Weltschmerz, the panic of mass consciousness, the panic of, oh my God, a sequester. What does that mean anyway? Oh, I don't know what it means, but I'm going to panic. You see, that's negative responsiveness. And then it should not be surprising to anybody that if even we who are working on becoming polarized in the mind respond in that way, how easy it is for the average person to be brainwashed by those who would indoctrinate them instead of teach them, who would play upon the emotions. Just because you support something doesn't mean that you can't recognize. I think one of the most noxious advertisements on TV today, if you watch Fox News at night, you'll inevitably see it, and that's the Wounded Warriors. Now, I'm all for taking care of the wounded warriors and helping them recover. I think that's a great idea. But the guilt they call forth in the context of those ads is staggering. And I don't think a single person probably ever contributes out of love. They contribute out of guilt. Oh, my goodness, I bear a responsibility for these people being wounded. And so to assuage their guilt, I mean, they ram it right down your throat. So that's an example of the whether you agree with the work being done or not is irrelevant. They're using fear and guilt to achieve their ends, and therefore they're prostituting their ends, their goal. They're deserving, not serving. And we need to understand that the key to establishing this poise that we need to be positive toward life is the mind. The more we learn to think for ourselves, the less likely we are to respond to the programming of the brainwashing of mass consciousness. And the more we gain the majesty and triumph of the Six of Rods, which is the use of the mind to halt the reactive wildness of the emotions. Nothing wrong with the emotions, but they tend to render us negative to just about everyone that would want to take advantage of us. It's that which makes us gullible, and it's that which unscrupulous people play upon, And that can change the whole, our whole understanding of what life is about.
Well, it's that reactiveness. It doesn't matter what we're reacting about, but when you react, you create a breach in your subtle bodies, and that's when mass consciousness just hooks a hose in and sucks out your energy.
Now, I've got a question. A breach in your subtle bodies, is that a hole in your knickers? Your britches?
Oh, I, if you want to look a at breach. It that way. A breach in my britches.
Exactly. Well, here we are back to Dr. Clement. Anyway, you're absolutely right. And people go around with these holes in their britches all the time. Their breach, the breach in their britches, which lets mass consciousness pour in when they least suspect it, and they think they have such a strong focus, and yet they're just the byproduct of somebody else's brainwashing, and somebody else is calling the shots. Maybe mass consciousness, maybe our nationality or our ethnic background or whatever, but some force which we identify with is calling the shots, and therefore we aren't exercising the, we're being negative towards that rather than responsive to the soul. Excellent. Other comments or questions? Anybody? Well, that's it for tonight. So this will give you something to think about for the next 2 weeks between now and the end of Pisces. And then we will convene again in 2 weeks and we'll talk about the laws of sex, which may not be exactly what you anticipate. Not a how-to manual. I'm sure you all know that by now. If you don't, then I'm very disappointed. And you never want to disappoint me. Okay, that's it for tonight. Thank you all. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks.